Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. It's spring here in Ontario, and it's a very opening time of year. It's so opening that our meditation hall is very open. It's pretty empty because everyone is out enjoying the beautiful sunshine. Except for the few hardy practitioners who are willing to be indoors to share the Dhamma. We're on a migration route. At this time of year, many very exotic birds fly over and land and have a chat with us and then continue their journey north. And the squirrels and the deer eating everything up that got planted. So they don't know about the intellectual Dhamma, but they do teach us a lot about the Dhamma of this moment. So we are also like deer. Do we think of ourselves as deer? Are we deer to ourselves? What makes us deer is that we are feeding on the Dhamma, and this is a great blessing for us. And you remember that quintessential Dhamma phrase, mindfulness is the path to the deathless, and mindlessness, heedlessness, is the path to death. What do you think the Buddha meant by that? Mindfulness is the path to the deathless. I've thought many things about it over the years, and in the beginning, I surely thought, yes, we start to be mindful and then we can free our minds and we can know the deathless, like a sequence. You do A, B, C, and you get D, and so forth. If you put in the right ingredients, you get the result. Just like when you plant little seedlings of poppies and lupins in the ground, and then you get these beautiful flowers. But I think the Buddha's teaching is more detailed than that. I don't think it's really just putting something in the ground and then coming back every few days to check, is it growing? How big is it? Oh, look, it's flowering. Oh, now it's drooping. I think the practice of mindfulness has a lot more to it than that. And one of the most salient things I woke up to more recently is that mindfulness is not just bringing our attention to the present moment, but what is happening when we do that? What is the result of that particular action? Not some betterment in the future or tomorrow or after we collect thousands and thousands of moments of mindfulness, something magical will happen. But to be really mindful, what do we have to bring to the table or to the moment? And very much what was coming up for me today is that in the act of being attentive and being present in the truest way possible, we're letting go. It's to really be aware, we're letting go. Awareness itself is a huge leaving behind, and what we don't even realize what we're leaving behind. We're leaving behind a burden in the act of being present. And we want that burden to disappear, but it isn't disappearing by wanting it to disappear. Rather, it's disappearing by being aware. So the relationship between awareness and giving up the world is like a natural process. It's like when an egg opens, a little chick puts his beak out of the eggshell. That chick has been poking at the eggshell from the inside for a long time before it actually gets its beak to the outside. And when it gets its beak to the outside, the shell falls away. The shell opens. And the little chick, when it was pecking at the shell, it didn't even realize what was on the other side. It just kept pecking. And then the shell breaks and it opens. And then the little chick comes out and it's a whole other world. So if we think of mindfulness as our way of knocking on a door or looking towards something and looking and looking and looking, and suddenly we see it for what it really is. And then we have this understanding. So with mindfulness, we can open up to another way of being in the world, another way of understanding, which is just like what the little chick does when it becomes free from the eggshell. And our world of living in the sense realm is very much like a shell. I would say it's like a prison. The mind itself is completely engrossed in, encapsulated by, it's like a capsule. It's not a space capsule. It's a worldly capsule. And we're caught up in thoughts and sense impressions and the knowledge that comes from sense impressions. But when we break through those sense impressions to dwell in mindfulness of the present moment in the way the Buddha intended for us, we're so present that the shell opens and we have an awareness of another dimension, which is intuitive, and it's free of sense impression. But we only do that by really being present for impressions, present for impressions, and knowing them for what they are, instead of being lost in them. That loss of being impressed by the impressions, because they pressure. See how the sense world presses on us. It's a beautiful day. Let's run around outside. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's gather sensory impressions. Beautiful sounds. Beautiful sensory contact. Beautiful impressions that make us happy. But only that kind of mindfulness of moment by moment awareness, we can see and know the reality of what we are within those impressions, but not because of the gratification of the senses through them, but because of realizing their true nature and realizing the true nature of awareness. And the true nature of awareness is what knows the true nature of impressions, because it's seeing them as impermanent. So they're dying in front of us. The baby chick never goes back into that shell. Once it's out, that's it. It leaves the shell behind. So once we break out of our attachment to these sensory impressions, and we know the pressure for what it is, the impression for what it is, we start to realize how much we've depended on our contact with these impressions to feel happy, to feel complete, to feel free. And we couldn't, because we have one impression and we want another one. And why is this attachment and wanting arising? We're different than the chick in that way. The chick cannot know that it's opened to very much, except now it wants to feed on the impressions from that opening. But our mindfulness is a special quality that human beings can have, which is, it's a quality that helps us to wake up. Because along with pressing through, cracking through to reality, is the awareness and the understanding of that new world for what it actually is. And inside the little shell, the chick was feeding and growing, and outside the shell, it will also feed and grow according to its animal nature. But as human nature, we have this quality of wisdom. So mindfulness of breaking through is accompanied by wise attention. And we understand the process. We see the beginning, the middle, and the ending. We see the causes and the conditions in which that awareness arose. And we understand what we're able to see as a result of being present for it. And that's how we wake up to the present moment in a way we may not have experienced before. Oh, really being present and seeing the arising and ceasing of everything in this world. All our sense impressions, all that lies before us, and we can see the entire past, the trail behind us through memory. We don't have to remember past lives. We just remember yesterday, today, tomorrow, our concept of time. And we see this is all because of thought, that the thinking and the impressions of thought on consciousness create for us a reality that is unreal. Is there tomorrow? There is only this moment. Is there yesterday? It's an idea. So yesterday and tomorrow exist only in thought. But the present moment is here. We feel it, we taste it, we touch it, we know it through impression. And we learn from those impressions, eye impressions, smell impressions, hearing impressions, tasting impressions, feeling impressions, and thinking. We know it all as anicca, it's impermanent. And the yesterday and tomorrow is impermanent. So when we dwell in impermanence with mindfulness and wisdom, there's a certain cracking open. The more deeply we go into the impression of impermanence on the heart, the more we can understand that this is not who we are. We have no ownership here. We cannot return to anything behind. We cannot go forward to anything. We're stuck in this moment. This is the only reality, this moment. It can be a break open if we realize that there is no one that is stuck. It's just an impression. It's an aha. Who is stuck? There's no one stuck. It's just the continuous flow of present moment awareness. But the awareness does not die. Just this selfness, this idea of someone that existed before will exist again and exists now. The only continuity is our awareness. Because there isn't any solid being that carries on this body that we think we are, this mind that we think we are. And when we are aware of that, because the only thing that we can actually be is that awareness, because all the rest of it is fluid. It's just arising and ceasing. All things, all impressions, including our impression of this moment, just arise and cease. They have no solidity at all. So by knowing impermanence, even for one moment, it's the shell falling away. It's the awareness arising of the emptiness of all impressions. And it's the selflessness in that. Because the only thing that goes from moment to moment, it's not me or mine. We own nothing. So the realization of non-ownership, and this realization is so subtle. It comes from understanding that we cannot claim anything at all. What belongs to us? Is there anything we can keep? So I have this idea come into the mind about the meaning of renunciation. Renunciation, you think you have to throw something away. You have to consciously let it go. But it also, in that letting go, it's just like being present. In that being present, we let go. And in that letting go, we have no ownership. We understand non-ownership. There's nothing. Nothing we can claim. Nothing at all that we can hold or keep. And this creates, when we hold on, what happens? We suffer. We suffocate. We suffocate because we can't hold on. If you hold on to being young or being old, being strong or being weak, being beautiful or being whatever you see in the mirror. What is it? Well, there's no ownership. It's not who we are. But we're so identified with it and we try to claim, that's me. I am mindful. This is not true mindfulness. There's no one who is mindful. There's only present moment awareness. And so even in that state of being aware, we have unclaimed the me and the mine. If we go deeply into that, we will realize and we will recognize that the shell is falling apart. The shell of identity to this body and this mind, this instrument, that is only something that we use to peck away the delusion. Peck, peck. Watch the birds peck. They can't do it like us. But when we bring awareness to the present moment, we can learn from the beauty of what they do and realize that we are always pecking at the world and wanting to find the next little crumb that we can feed on to make us happy. But it never will. All that pecking and scraping the bottom of the bowl for another good bit of the taste we had, it doesn't come that way. It comes by not looking in the sense realm, but by cracking beyond it through the face of what we thought was real into the heart of what we know already. That magic moment is within us. It's not in the world. There's an expression in some religions, you're born again. Be born again. And it's in a way, as followers of this teaching, we're unborn. It's a kind of born into awakening, but it's a giving up. It's quite the opposite. It's letting go of birth, but it is waking up. The waking up is the unborn, waking up to that which is not born, which is uncreated, which is incomparable. It's unconditioned. And why would we expect, when we already know that there is nothing in the conditioned world that will satisfy us? But we keep buying and looking and getting impressions, collecting impressions that we think will make us happy yet again, the way we once were. We have some friends that go away for the winter every year, and one of them was telling us, yeah, they've booked their vacation for next year. And then all year long you look forward to next year. How was the holiday? Well, and then you book the next year. But right here, in this present moment, is the real vacation. It's the freedom to vacate from this wanting mind in this moment. And that's mindfulness. It's a full meal. We go even beyond the mind. It's not my mind. There is no minus, no ownership even of the mind. But what the mind can bring us to, if we let go the sense impressions, is the awareness. What is this consciousness? To be aware of that, moment by moment, and to be free from that prison of impressions and of time and of self. There is the joy. So when people come and they tell us they have a terrible disease and they're going to die, but they're going to do everything possible to live, and one can feel, one knows the fear in that. And I right away wonder how much fearlessness can one bring to those moments of being afraid. Probably to be fearless is the most difficult thing, because to give up this attachment to the body, really, it's very difficult to make peace with the dying, the aging, the letting go of this body-mind. But there is a freedom from it. And looking around at the creatures who are in the middle of creating little beings left and right, new little beings coming out of their shells, little groundhogs being born in their holes, and rabbits, and turtles, porcupines. Soon the deer will have their babies, and the humans, new babies. But we are Dhamma babies, and we're being born to the reality of what we're not. So to realize how mindfulness is the path to that which does not die. And if we so value birth, and that which is bound for death, we cannot know the deathless. But we are capable of knowing the deathless if we can be so aware that our awareness will take us beyond fear of dying, fear of no longer claiming this to be my body is just a vehicle, a beautiful vehicle to cherish. Even when it's achy, crinkly, crumbly, doesn't function so well, the insects in the eye and all that, it's great because there is so much letting go. And then when we're mindful, the quality of mindfulness, thankfully, is not less. Maybe it's even more and more attentive to what is true in the face of pain, or what is true in the face of disharmony. Someone isn't very nice to you, and you think, it doesn't matter. We can be nice to the present moment. There is no one there. It's just sounds. It's just feelings. It's impermanent. Awareness of not niceness is nice. It's beautiful. It's peaceful. There it goes. It's gone. And we can bring a sense of beauty, a sense of joy, a sense of grateful that we can listen to whatever is being said without anybody being hurt. The only thing that is hurt is our ability to be fully present and let it go. The free mind is fully tolerant and forgiving to all conditions. Can we do that? That's the work. It's a work in progress. WIP. There's nothing to be disappointed about, because we are resting in peace in this moment. Rest in peace. But it's with a W, rest. We have to wrestle with all the kilesas to get that WIP, awake, wakeful in the present moment. So I offer you that for today.
Handamayang Dhammakataya Sadhu Karanga Dhammase Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu.